Here's my technical moment. Tonight, though, it is my great pleasure to welcome back three trapped tigers. That is David Barnett and Tom Bickley, as well as our own Jim Wilson. They will be performing a variety of works, which you should have in your hand at this moment. They are... They have so many credits to them that I hardly have time to go over that. I want to make more time for the music, so I will simply introduce our dear friends, Three Trapped Tigers and Jim Wilson.
Thank you for coming out tonight on this cold, wintry night. The first piece is called Almost Winter. It struck me that I should have written a piece called Winter for tonight, but it is. So this piece is what I call a sonic landscape. You know, like it's related to that sense of the cold coming and the fog appearing and trees in the fog appearing and sort of being wrapped up in the fog. That kind of feeling. So, begin.
I'm the guilty party in terms of bringing the next one onto a manuscript paper. There's a tomb from the 16th century which carries a, I'd say, a somewhat enigmatic or curious little couplet. The leaves be green, the nuts be brown, they hang so high, they will not come down. And the tune that has traditionally accompanied those words is called Browning. Some odd bit of occurrence. So what I've done is subject that tune to various processes and actually taken a Renaissance artifact and worked it as in a medieval compositional processes to come out with an appropriately postmodern mixture of sounds. So this is probably the, I guess, fourth or fifth time we performed this, I think. Yeah, we hope you'll enjoy it too. And if it piques your fancy after the performance, I'm happy to describe the processes that this went through.
Thank you. So shifting back a few centuries, John Baldwin, sort of Henry VIII's court, he's best remembered as the copyist for a major collection of keyboard music, My Lady Neville's virginal book. But he also collected as well as wrote a good number of pieces. Much of his writing reflects the fact that music in the Renaissance was really one of the highest forms of mathematics. And he plays constantly with shifting of rhythms, shifting of proportions. So there's this wonderful taking of melodies that chase each other, and that as you go suddenly start drifting in different directions, both in terms of sound but also the rhythm, and eventually come back together.
Thank you.
I first encountered this piece when I was putting together a whole program of pieces devoted to animals in one form or another for one of the recorder workshops. And was looking and went, oh, Alan Hodnett. And I knew his music because he's also written some wonderful pieces for clarinet, but I had no idea he'd written for recorder. And after starting work on this, it's really become one of really my favorite pieces for unaccompanied recorder. It's a set of variants he describes as being in a modified arch form. So you've got various tempos, presto, andante, allegro, and adagio, andante, allegro, and a final presto. And it's inspired by a poem by Gwen Thomas. It's a lizard, come out to warm its blood in the sun. Small, mottled, stock still, with skin like tissue paper, respirating energy, a pizzicato across the wall, across its sunlight, another stop, respires again.
Thank you.
John Cage work we're doing dates from 1989 and was written for a European recorder trio called the Trio Dolce. And it's really, I think, fits right in with his works from this period, which is very near the end of his life. He died in 92. And the work has some of the same spaciousness that you heard in Almost Winter in Jim's piece. And to my ears, such that when there are simultaneities, when we're playing at the same time, it seems almost shocking to in the context of it. So it's a very wonderfully spacious work. I think it's safe to say, and you'll probably agree after you see us do it, that Cage learned what the potential extremes of the instruments were and employed them in creating the piece. What we're watching is a stopwatch display here. That's what the computer is doing. The piece is about 40 minutes long, and you see the sections, which are 1, A through I, and 2.
And when he says three players playing a variety of recorders, he's not kidding. We have way too much firewood on this stage. We're using everything from the tiny sopranino down to a 6-foot contrabass, which is this thing here.
Oh my God.
Why didn't it say U.S. Army on it?
Actually, one of the funny or sort of strange ironies is that the development of instruments runs parallel with the development of weapons. It's the ability to build bigger and bigger cannons and the lathes for them that allowed them to start building these in the Renaissance.
Wow.
And you'll know when we're doing 1 and 2 because it's the only time we're using this thing.
Yeah, that's true.
David, do you need this instrument?
No, I don't.
No, I think this is fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming out tonight on this cold and wet night. I will point out that we have a donation bowl on the counter there, and we hope you will donate to that bowl, which we will share with our performers tonight to support their work and to keep this space available for these and other events. I'll also point out we have a table of our own little musical instruments that you can take a look at on your way out. They are available for purchase. And thank you so much. See you at the next events.
Tomorrow night.
Bye.
Why don't you write your email address on that? And I'll forward you when I get home.
Thank you.
I will forward you the dance thing.
Boy. So the middle sections are all the time frame notation, and the outer ones are.